Thank you. Good morning, colleagues. I'd like to call to order today's meeting of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Education for Thursday, June 1st, 2017, the happiest day of the year. We will be doing a work session today on Senate Bill 5517, the Department of Education State School Fund Budget Bill. And with that, I would ask Doug.
Madam Chair,
to start us off.
Members of the subcommittee, there are materials on OLIS. We will be working through the LFO recommendation memo. And then there are also three documents from LRO that are the basic school district runs based on the $8.2 billion, which is in this budget. So if you want to take a look at what's happening in individual districts, of course, these are always estimates because things change even as the number stays the same, depending on local revenues and a whole host of other things that may change. But by the time the school year starts. Going through the memo, some quick background. Keep in mind this is the state school fund provides the core and general operating funds for the K through 12 districts and the ESDs. Roughly 580 students are predicted. This is the largest appropriation representing in 15-17 about 38% of the combined lottery and general fund. The state resources appropriated in this bill are then combined with local property tax and other revenues, bringing it up, at least at the current service level, to about $11.8 billion in what we call formula revenue. And then that formula revenue is divided based on the statutory formula after the carve-outs are taken out and are distributed based on ADM and ADMW. The total ADMW, which is the weighted, that includes the number of students plus the different weights for low income, ELL, special education, and others, are estimated at approximately 710,000 ADM compared to roughly 580 ADMR, which is the number of students. Local revenues that are based on the runs that you have available to you total just less than $4 billion. That's the amount over the two-year period. That's the amount that is determined or estimated by Legislative Revenue Office in concert with the various county assessors across the state. These funds that are distributed, the formula, pay for the general purpose expenses on the districts on the most part, of which roughly 80% is employee compensation, and the rest are different kinds of operating costs. On the second page, I have a list of many of the what we call distributions or carve-outs. These are funds that are taken off the top of the state school fund prior to being inserted into the formula revenue. Some of them have a very long history. I'll just hit some of the larger ones. I'll come back to local option equalization grants, but these are grants that are provided to districts that have passed local options but have lower assessed values. There's the high-cost disabilities count, $70 million across the biennium, and these are distributed to districts for costs of high-cost disabled students that whose supports often exceed $30,000 or more. The Office of School Facilities, this is a group that provides grants, technical assistance grants, where most of the $6 million goes for, and the staff. But there is also, in this current biennium, roughly $125 million worth of bonds that went out that were sold and that are in the process being granted out to districts that have to help them with facilities and that have also had a matching amount raised on the local level through local bond levies. The Network for Quality Teaching and Learning, this is now estimated at just a little over $39 million. It grows from the previous year at the same rate as the state school fund grows. That is a statutory carve-out. There is Senate Bill 182, which you'll hear in a public hearing on Monday, that deals with this network and looking at how it's distributed and taking a look at maybe changing the nature as proposed by the governor. The long-term care facilities, pediatric facilities, Oregon School for the Deaf, at a little over $31 million. This is basically distributions to the various education providers that are providing education to special needs students. It's sort of like a distribution in a sense to a school district, but for a certain group of students. And finally, the statewide ELL, or English Language Learners Program. This is also in statute as a new one for 2015. So those are a quick description of the carve-outs, or some of them. The rest of them are listed there. So keep in mind, many of these carve-outs, even though they're taken off the top, most of the money does end up at the district, either through because of a certain set of criteria and the students are served, like this, like the high cost disabilities, or for special programs like ELL or local equalization grants. Looking at the adjustments to current service level, the current service level that was estimated in preparation for the budget this time was just a little bit over $8 billion. That took into account a number of factors in terms of compensation of district staff, mainly teachers, the increases in the PERS rates that are set for this next two-year period, assumptions on health insurance costs, growth in student enrollment, changes in the ADM, weighted ADMs, and also takes a look and factors in the latest estimates of the local revenues, which I mentioned before. In the bill, the amendment to the bill splits the distribution of the state school fund into 50-50 shares, 50% the first year, 50% the second year. That is included as one of the sections in the bill and is also in the amendment. Keep in mind that the end of session bill will very likely have a switch in the general fund and revenue, or general fund and lottery fund revenue. If nothing changes on the bottom line, the amount will stay the same but maybe divided a little differently. We use the state school fund as the balancer between those revenue sources, which we generally count as general fund, lottery fund, since it does go to education, almost is treated like general fund in many cases. There is one carve-out included in the bill that is what I'll call new. There was a carve-out to provide school lunches at no charge to those students that are currently eligible for reduced priced lunches. That was first used in 15-17. That is continued in this bill at a new cost of just under $2.5 million. It grows slightly based on the number of increase in the number of students receiving reduced lunches. You'll see in the language of the amendment, I need to mention that, three carve-outs were taken out of the bill. The first one, the English language learners, it double counted it because it's already existing in statute. Mm. So the bill prepared based on the governor's budget double counted that, as well in indirectly the Network for Quality Teaching and Learning. They had renamed the carve out, but it also, by including in this bill, double counted it because that's already existing in statute. And then finally, there was a third carve-out, the Graduation Equity Fund. That is related to Senate Bill 183, which you heard, I guess, last week in this committee, a presentation on it. So the ELL and the network do continue as carve-outs at their statutorily set amount, but they're already in statute, so you don't need them in the bill. We've talked to Ledge Council about that. So that ends up to our recommendation in this bill of general fund appropriation of $7,684,226,325 for general fund, lottery funds of $452,292,849, and then other funds expenditure limitation of $67,341,193. Now that other funds revenue limitation includes limitation for the distribution of the local option equalization grants of 3.8. It also includes just over $63 million in or marijuana taxes. This is based on the current version of Senate Bill 845, which allocates 30% of the marijuana taxes to the state school fund. So that takes into account there that the current law, based on the ballot measure that authorized the marijuana taxes, had 40% going to the common school fund. So the proposals are out there this session to change that to going directly to the state school fund instead of the common school fund. I think there's still discussions going on whether that should be 30% going to state school fund or 40%. So that still needs to be discussed a little further, and the amounts will be changed probably in the end of session bill if those distributions change from the current Senate version of the bill. And finally, there's just over $400,000 of state-related timber revenues. So if you take out the $3.8 million for the local option equalization grants, the total amount available in the state school fund as new resources is $8.2 billion even. So with that, Madam Chair, that's sort of my discussion and presentation of the bill. And the next step would be the formal acceptance or non-acceptance of the LFO recommendation.
Madam Co-Chair.
Yes, I would like to move the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5517, and then I have a few comments.
Great. Senator Monroe has moved the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5517. Discussion.
Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Co-Chair.
You heard that we decided, Madam Co-Chair and I decided, that it was best to continue the funding for the nutrition program. The nutrition program seems to be working really well. We started it 2 years ago. What it says is that if you're eligible for a free lunch, you get a free lunch. If you're eligible for a reduced lunch, you get a free lunch. The problem was if you just reduced the cost and then some student didn't have the money or forgot the money or whatever, you're going to withhold their lunch, and that's inappropriate. It doesn't cost a whole lot. We all know, especially those of us that are educators, know that it's pretty hard to teach kids anything if they haven't had something to eat. And so this program, fairly inexpensive. Barbara and I decided that we wanted to keep it in there. Second thing, you'll notice the distribution is at 50-50. This is a little unusual because everybody knows that costs go up.
Yeah, well,
so the second year of the biennia, costs are going to be a little higher than the first year of the biennia. So what I think you will see, though, is in the final bill, at the end of session bill or the Christmas tree bill, when we make additional adjustments, hopefully additional increases in school funding that will probably rebalance that to more like 49-51, so that the second year of the biennia will have a little bit more money to deal with inflation, salary increases, and so on. So this is a sound budget, and I hope that we can all support it.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Other discussion for this motion? Senator Roblin.
A couple things. There are some things that we have continued to have conversations about, and I hope that by doing this budget explicitly, they are add-ons as opposed to money that comes out of here. So Measure 98, people keep having that conversation, and other kinds of things. If they're add-ons, I assume because of the budget is coming out the way it is, they will be additional money, not less money. And number two, on the 50-50 split, I hope that our group, our organizations out there have conversations, especially with new superintendents and others, that keeping back 2% from the first year and having a little bigger carryover would be really advantageous to them, because I'm not sure that we will balance, and we have the tendency when we have the money received to all of the efforts are to spend it, and then you get hurt the second year of the biennium. And I, you know, I think it has been a good policy for us to divide it up. I understand there are reasons for not doing that as well with respect to future expectations and so on. So I just want to make sure that it's clear to everybody that the way the budget is currently written, they need to be reserved in their first year of spending to make sure that they have enough money for the second year of that. And I appreciate that. So we'll have to wait and see about the other things. And I hope that we can find a little bit more money. I know that people I've talked to have said we need to get to 8.4 to not have cuts. I understand those kinds of things, and I hope that we can find that resource at the end of the session. So we'll have a lot of conversation between now and then, but I am pleased that the schools can start planning on a budget, which I think, and I appreciate the efforts of our co-chairs here and the other co-chair, the big co-chairs, with respect to, I think, knowing where we are right now today, have eked out the, an amount of money that I can support. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Further discussion on this? I will just briefly add as well on the 50-50 versus 49-51. I believe that has also been a discussion point about impacts on future roll-ups. So I think that will be an ongoing conversation. And I would also just like to add about the marijuana money through Senate Bill 845. I am on the committee that's working on that bill now in the House, and indeed we are certainly hoping to return that level to 40%, which we believe is the voter intent. Yeah. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Both Madam Chair and Mr. Chair, Co-Chair, I appreciate all your work on this. This is a difficult and, as we said, the largest budget. I'd like to ask Mr. Wilson first if the distribution for ESDs was changed at all. They're still getting the same amount.
Madam Chair, Representative Wisnett, there was no change into the current law on the fund distribution.
The same thing for charter schools. There's no change in that.
The charters, well, nothing in the general formula of charter schools. I know the amount for closure of charter schools was reduced some just based on what the department estimates may close or may not close.
Thank you. Follow-up. And I appreciate, because I have some special interest to put on the record that you are saying that we have the $12.5 million is secured for the ELL program, so we can continue that.
That is in current law.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really do. I've been here in the building and on Ways and Means. It's a tough job. I appreciate what you've done. I'll be a no to hope we pressure leadership, further leadership, the big chairs, to find more money. But I think we do have to also put on the record that this is over an 8% increase from last year. And this committee has had some great hearings looking at cost drivers, but until we really look at cost drivers and address the cost drivers, it's going to be difficult to continue to fund education at the level we want to. And as an expression of that, I'll be a no on the budget. Thank you.
Representative Parrish.
So I'll just go ahead and get all my issues out right here. So I do also appreciate the work it takes to put these together, but I have quite a few concerns because since I've been here, my first term, our student population was about 560,000 kids. Our student population now, I think we heard somewhere this year, closer to like 580. So pretty nominal increase for how much money we've continued to put into public education in the state. And then this is my seventh term, fourth term in the legislature, seventh session. And putting more money into education has not yielded better outcomes. Those numbers are not moving very fast, and I get it's a big ship to steer, so that concerns me. I am very concerned that we have not done any real cost reforms. And when I say cost reforms, my biggest concerns are around healthcare. Those dollars we learned this year how much difference we spend on healthcare and for our education system compared to our peers in Washington State. We're one of the highest in the nation for public employee health care, and a very disturbing figure that I learned in the last few weeks is just how much is going out to things like double coverage, where you have two people who are both educators and we're doing funding two full health plans for those individuals. and across all public employees. It's hundreds of millions of dollars at every level of government when you add up just that double coverage figure. And those are dollars that are, again, are not going to the classroom. And we really have to get into a point where we're having a conversation about separating health care from total compensation and moving more, I think, towards either that CCO model or, you know, how TRICARE does it with military folks. We have not yet seen any plan on PERS reforms. I, you know, have come to the conclusion that 197 local school districts out bargaining by themselves and then coming back to the legislature after they've given away whatever farm locally and saying, well, we need more money is definitely part of this problem. So as long as that's happening, we'll never have enough dollars for education. I'm also extremely concerned that when we allocate these funds, there is absolutely no accountability metric that we can use to reach into local school districts and say, we allocated dollars for, you know, Johnny, and these are his weights, and you didn't use them that way, and Johnny dropped out of the system. That bothers me. I think as long as we continue to have sort of this equity issue between, you know, charters and nonprofits and other programs that are delivering education and the public school system, that worries me as well. And like I said, the ed outcomes are not wonderful. We are, according to the NEA, we are 21st in the nation as of last year for education funding, yet our class sizes continue to be one of the highest in the nation. That is troublesome to me in a budget like this. And so, you know, this is nearly $3 billion more in ed funding than when I got here for 20,000 more kids. And if we're not going to address cost drivers, it will never be enough money. We can never raise enough taxes to keep paying for this. And so I am very uncomfortable voting on a bill that we have not done that work this session, and it's June 1st. So I have to be a no today.
I just want to point out that we're going to move the LFO recommendation and then the amendment and then the bill I was just going to say, so lots of, okay, great. So Representative Lively now or?
I'll wait till then.
Okay, thank you. Great. So there is a motion on the table to move the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5517. We've had some discussion. Is there objection to moving the LFO recommendation? Okay, should we call a? Do I just note it or call a? Two objections on this side.
You can just note.
Okay.
That the
please note that Representative Wisnett and Representative Parrish voted no. And. So moved. Okay. Next, Doug.
Dash 3 amendment. Next.
Yes, Madam Chair, the Dash 3 amendment is in front of you. It has the same recommendations of about $7.7 billion, $452.3 million of lottery funds, and $67.3 million other funds as reflecting the Dash 3s in the motion.
Madam Co-Chair, I move the Dash 3 amendment to 5517.
Senator Monroe has moved adoption of the Dash 3 amendment to Senate Bill 5517. Discussion.
Madam okay. Co-Chair.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Yeah, I am very pleased that the presiding officers and the co-chairs of the whole committee have come up with this budget. It's a stretch. It's clearly a stretch and anticipates that other things will fall into place as we finish up our work. But it's important that the school districts have some security in terms of what will be available to them. The superintendents in my district have been calling me and asking me, you know, what they can budget on, and because the budget process starts in April, not June, and, you know, I've let them know that I thought if they budgeted at 8.1, they would probably be safe. Fortunately, we're at 8.2 now, which is even a little better. Remember that these school districts are run by elected school boards, and it is the elected school boards that ultimately make the policy in terms of the way these dollars are used in an individual school district. And I always tell people, you know, if you don't like the way schools are run, run for the school board like Representative Fernandez did, like I've done in the past, and have something to say about the policy of your particular school district. Anyway, this Dash 3 amendment puts as much money into school fund as the big co-chairs and the presiding officers thought was possible, even at a stretch. So I would urge the support.
Other discussion? Okay, I will take the opportunity. Oh, sorry?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay. I will take the opportunity to briefly comment now, which is, I just want to say, as somebody with kids in Portland Public Schools, I have continually been frustrated by our having to patch together budgets year after year. And here in a year where our economy continues to go great guns, I think that what this all demonstrates is that we have a broken revenue structure, that where we cannot keep up with current service level. This is indeed a stretch, but at the same time, my kids are in sixth and eighth grade now, and all expectations will continue to show this isn't the kind of an investment budget where we can get back the fact that my kids will have gone to school a full year less than kids in Washington by the time they get through K-12. It may be current service level for many districts, but that's still, I don't think that's where we want to be on those. So I'm glad we've gotten as far as we have. I'm honored to be co-chair with Senator Monroe on this, but I'm eager to work on something that is more than just good enough. And while I will be supporting this, I believe this is only the start of the conversation, that we have a lot of time left to get further than this and to continue to have a real significant revenue conversation over the rest of this session. Okay, so Senator.
On the amendment.
Yes, thank you. Senator Monroe has moved adoption of the -3 amendment to Senate Bill 5517. Sorry, I keep clicking on the wrong thing here. We've had discussion. Any objection to the amendment?
I'm just voting no on
that. Okay.
So
please note, Representative Parrish. The amendment is moved. And Doug.
And the final is the passage of the bill and referred to full committee.
Madam Co-Chair, I move Senate Bill 5517 as amended by the -3 amendment to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Get that to there, sorry. Senator Monroe moves Senate Bill 5517 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Yeah. Representative Lively.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, Mr. Co-Chair. A couple comments. One, I'm certainly going to support the motion. I appreciate all the work that people have put into this. You know, one of the things that I've learned since I've been here, there are differences across the state in districts, and that sometimes makes these conversations a little more difficult. I'm proud of my school district and of what my school board does, and I like being able to support them, and I wish I could do more at this particular point to support them. And while I appreciate the conversations about cost containments and controls, people that know me say I won't support new revenue until we've done more of that. It doesn't just apply to school districts. It's not where the issue is that the state budget faces. And so I want people to understand from my standpoint, while I think there's things different school districts could do, from a state budget standpoint, we have some real issues to address that are far beyond school districts. The other thing I'll say, even with all of that, I still believe we need to invest more money in education. And this is a step, but not the full step that we need to make. But at the end of the day, we can make adjustments, we can ask more from teachers, we can do all those other things, but we're just not investing enough money. This wagon I'm wearing talks about America's promise, and America's promise is children, yep. And it is. And so to me, that's why it's important to move forward at this point with this budget and to make some kind of statement at the bottom that we're not going to go below this, that this is where we're going to start, and I hope, as others, that we're able to increase it. But we have a lot of work to do, but I don't want to hold schools hostage while we're doing that work.
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to thank the co-chairs also. Several times during the year when we're heading off back to our office, you guys are up having your meetings with the main mm-hmm. chairs. I want to thank you for pushing to get this out. I would have liked to seen it get out a month earlier. I know the co-chairs would have liked to seen that get out earlier for the all the superintendents and school districts to be working on these budgets earlier. But I think this is the first school budget that I'm going to vote yes on in my career. I've always said it wasn't enough. I'm not saying it's enough completely, but I think it's a really good start. We have more work to do, but I was really surprised at the initial amount that came out yesterday, and I'll be a yes. Thanks.
Thank you. Representative Parrish.
Unless there's anybody else who hasn't gone first. Yeah. Okay. A couple other things I want to put on the record in terms of why I'm going to be a no and why I don't think this budget is going to cut it when it's all said and done. You know, the PERS board is meeting next month, and there's conversation that they're going to look at the assumed rate of PERS. And depending on how that rate changes, it could significantly increase additional PERS payments for school districts. To how they move that rate. We don't know what that number is yet. So to me, again, without trying to put some sideboards around looking at things we can do moving forward for PERS, and those bills haven't come forward, I think we're going to have a budget hole in this ed budget once it's passed. Healthcare, last night you may have seen a document that came over from PEB. We've not yet to see that same type of document, I think, from OEB, but looking at just the PEB side cost of healthcare, and your Representative Lively is correct, this cost containment thing is all over. It's in our prison system. It's in, you know, it's in every program that we run. It's in the Medicaid program. However, the PEB costs are going up significantly. I have to imagine that the OEB costs are going to go up the same, if not more, and that per, you know, person cost, you know, $100+ a month per employee, that's not reflected in this budget, is what the for future healthcare costs are going to look like. Again, we've had no real conversations on healthcare. You know, I question this kind of local control thing, and I've heard it a lot, and I actually felt that way moving into the when I first got elected. However, when the bulk of the money comes from this building, and then again, we let 197 school districts go out and, you know, bargain around us and come back and say, well, we need more money. If we're going to be serious about local control, I mean, to me, I believe that also means letting them have the control of whether they get out of OEB. I've had school districts asked to be out of OEB, and we don't let them do that. How they have to deal with, you know, the employee side. We manage a lot of that from right here, and we are constantly putting employer mandates on our schools that affect the cost of education, whether it's, you know, minimum wage or sick leave or any of the types of employer mandates we've passed since we've been here. Those are all having an impact. Whether or not they stay in PERS or give up some other type of retirement. I mean, I just don't think we can say local control and pick and choose how that's applied, and yet we do that all over the place, whether it's how we're going to, you know, deal with the relationships between charters and sponsors, how we're going to do the employee side. People wrap themselves up in this local control, but again, 70% of the dollars are coming from this body and coming from taxpayers all over the state of Oregon, whether they have children in school or not. And then we have no control over how those dollars are spent once they're delivered. So I really think the local control thing, we have got to address that. And I, too, think we need to invest more in education. But if it's not going to the classrooms, then that's not an investment. If it's just being churned through the system, churned through bureaucracies, you know, things that sort of make us feel like we're doing what we need to be doing in education, and there's lots of bills this year that sort of carve out money for this project or that project, then that's really not the right investments. And so again, for all of those reasons, I just have to be a no on this budget.
Okay. Representative Hernandez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So in good conscience, I cannot vote yes on this budget, and I'll give you my reasoning behind it. So I'm gonna vote no today. I think this budget is too low, and it means steep cuts, particularly for my school district and school districts in my district as well, and districts around the state.
Getting the big co-chair.
Okay.
It's okay. We're under control.
Member speaking.
Yeah. I can wait. I was a teacher, so I know how to. No, just, I'm kidding. Every day, students in Oregon face the third largest class sizes in the nation, and this budget means more cuts to vital programs, and it also means larger class sizes. It means longer school days or shorter school days and more layoffs. And so now that we have a boom in economy and unemployment rate is lower than it's been for a while, we cannot continue to shortchange our education system. And we have to get at the root cause of this problem. And the reality of the root cause is our revenue system. I get really emotional because somebody who went through the K-12 system here in Oregon and was a teacher and serves on a school board now does this, and the Education Ways and Means and Education Policy Committee, how can we be content with mediocrity in the United States and in Oregon? And we can no longer make short-term solutions for long-term structural problems. And that's why I think it's important that we have a conversation around revenue and that we pass a budget that really meets the QEM level and where we don't give pink slips to hardworking Oregonians. So this session, I think we have a real opportunity to make an investment instead of decades, and turn around decades of cuts to education. So I urge folks here today to vote no. I know everybody already said how they're going to vote, but we have reached a critical point in this session, and I'm sorry, but we cannot pass, and I cannot vote for a budget that continues to cut our school funding and just continues to maintain our mediocrity.
Thank you. Further discussion? Representative Wisden?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I spoke earlier, but briefly, I was like Senator Monroe. My school districts were asking what I thought the number was going to be, and I was saying 8 for sure, possibly 8-1. So that does the number. It does look a lot better for school districts. I'm concerned, again, about with two sessions I've served, full sessions. We did we came up with a revenue number before we started spending. And I'm concerned about how the whole package is going to look or what the revenue is going to look like and what's going to be possible to do this. I agree that we want to get a number out to school districts so they can budget and start their operation. I also agree with Senator Monroe that if I were superintendent and school board, I would probably hold back a little bit, but because we are not out, we're not sunny died yet. There's a lot of work to be done. And again, my earlier comment about a no is that I agree that we'd like to fund this higher, but we don't know what the whole picture, especially the minority party, what's coming. So that's the reason for my no. But
okay, I'd like us to stand at ease for a moment, please.
Madam Co-Chair.
Oh, yes.
Current service level on here, $8,016,000,000, and this budget is $8,203,000,000. So it is considerably higher than current service level.
Thank you. Okay, can we stand at ease, please? Back to order, please.
That's a good idea.
Thank you, colleagues. Okay, there is a motion on the floor, if I could just get to the right, thank you, to move Senate Bill 5517 as amended to the full committee with a do pass recommendation. Michael, will you please call the roll?
Senator Thompson.
Yes.
Senator Roble.
Yes.
Co-chair.
Aye.
Representative Wisden.
No.
Representative Parrish.
No.
Representative Lively.
Aye.
Aye.
Co-Chair Smith Warner.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. We need a carry.
Sure.
Oh, sorry.
The gavel.
Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you, Representative. Okay. We need a carrier to the full committee, which will be Senator Monroe. I will carry to the House floor, and Senator Monroe will carry to the Senate floor. And with that, colleagues, our meeting is adjourned. Meeting is adjourned.